Well, now, the more I read through this, the whole, everything in here is about guilt.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, I'm rereading the book again, and it just get more and more out of it.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. It's just, it's like I never read it.
Exactly, same.
And again, I'm reading slowly. Mm-hmm. Getting a lot more out of it. Thinking about it more.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing the workbook, lessons again, too?
I will be shortly.
Uh-huh. I have a question before you start, Andrew.
Yeah.
Can you have a special relationship and a holy relationship with Holy Spirit?
Well, yes. In fact, you always will. Every holy relationship begins as a special relationship, and that's a quote from the book.
Because when I was reading about special relationship and holy relationship, it felt like it was speaking to both human relationship and spiritual relationship.
Yeah, it meets you where you are by necessity, and your need, you feel, is to access truth from outside you. This is your need.
Right.
And so Holy Spirit says, I'll take the job, even though you're going to find out. It doesn't come from outside you, but I'll play that part. And that's what's happening. Holy Spirit is just playing a part. So you bet. It's going to be special. It's going to be love. It's going to be, I feel more cared for. When my Holy Spirit shows up, I feel loved.
Meet you
where you are, because it's what you need. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You need an I love you, and I'm here to cover you. So I step back and let Him lead the way. Looks like I'm stepping back, and He's taking care of me. Exactly how it looks and how it feels. And so you'll tend to fall in love with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And but it's still a perception that it's outside of you, initially,
yes.
Is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that's even how it's
like,
going to...
Like the Savior idea. Like
exactly.
This thing comes in and saves me, but really it's ourselves.
Exactly. Okay. And then as you continue with the Holy Spirit, you start to recognize yourself, helping yourself. And you go, wait a minute, I know this voice. And it will be your right mind. Is now what you're hearing, your own right mind. You recognize that's been there all the time. Mm. That is the Holy Spirit.
I found that sometimes my ego seemed to want to speak.
Oh, really? Anybody else?
my ego
volunteers?
Yeah. Almost trying to pass itself off as the voice of wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not the Holy Spirit voice, which means you can't be trusted. But I've been catching it. I've been catching it, you know, because if it doesn't feel authentic.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to throw that in.
Throw it in? We're going to meditate on
that. And trying to figure out how to pray without putting conditions on God, how to have a holy prayer that's not conditional is tough.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Aren't you asking for something?
It doesn't have to be anything tangible. It can be just for enlightenment,
okay.
But there's conditions on what that's supposed to look like.
Yep.
Yes.
And it's like, God damn it, I'm not doing this on purpose.
Yeah, the ego's getting in there and trying to drive. The spiritual ego keeps showing up trying to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good, catching it. You bet.
Yeah.
Yep, catching it. Well, let's meditate on that. Let's meditate on how do you know it's the Holy Spirit versus your ego giving you the right answers. That fits in with how we're gonna finish this section just fine. So let's do that. Okay. How do you know it's the Holy Spirit versus the ego with some great idea? What are some of the ways that you could sniff out whether it's the ego coming to save you or the wisdom of the Holy Spirit? What could you pray for that would be an invitation to the Holy Spirit and not a wide open greeting to the ego? What is the difference? between the Holy Spirit's answer and the ego's answer. So if you would, take a word or a phrase, pick, share with the group, how you might know the difference between the Holy Spirit and the clever ego. How do you know? Or are we still guessing? Is there a difference?
Yeah. It's obvious. It's like kind of one that we've talked about a lot, but peace.
Yeah.
It's like, peace has a feeling to it, and you know if you have it or you don't. So that experience tells me.
Yes.
The answer.
Yes.
And I think sometimes I feel like I have these intuitive thoughts, like, I should run back and double check that I locked my car door or something. But
yeah.
And maybe they are a certain form of intuition, but it's still based on a fear thought. And so that's not, it's okay to go and double check my car lock, but
yeah.
That's not the same thing as just having, like, sometimes I just have this certain confidence, like to make a decision or to how to let go of something or whatever, and that is like there's a piece there, and that's
yes.
very different than
yes.
kind of the world's intuition.
Isn't that right? Isn't a different piece that we're talking about? Mm-hmm. You still may be nervous about the situation, but there's an understanding, or trust. And a peace that comes from the Holy Spirit's a settling. You say may run out and double check the car, but it's different now, and it's not out of fear. Still can do things in the world, and we will. But it's not out of fear of loss.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just practical. Mm-hmm. It's very, very different. And until we actually live with a few episodes of having to go check the door lock on the car in peace versus checking it in fear and saying, God, I hope the car's still there. Oh no, what if it isn't? Well, you're still walking to go check it. You're like so ahead of yourself in fear. It's difficult versus peace. A sense of trust. Until you've experienced it, you may not even know what peace is. That's one of my biggest revelations teaching this class is when we did that meditation a few years ago about peace. And we went around trying to... I thought it was like real straightforward, right? But little did I know how much of a challenge it is to actually know peace. And it really opened my eyes. How many people live and how long I lived thinking that I had it all together. But actually, I was on the edge of losing it for years. Being afraid or whatever it was, or uncomfortable. Until this work actually opened me up. And I released the anxieties over things, body and material. With a miracle first, and then forgiveness. Until that's done, there are anxieties and fears that are thought to be normal and healthy. They're not peaceful, and it's what keeps you in the world, coming back again and again and again. That's what I learned that one night, is how few people, and it's not because I decided, they told me, after we talked about it for a while, I'm not sure I've ever been really at peace. What a gift to discover stillness and peace in you. This book can give. And then from there, go live the rest of your life. But you know what it's going to be? With lower blood pressure. And better sleep. Thank you. Peace. Well.
It's completely random. I get these insights and I don't ask for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll call it insights. I don't know what else to say. and I can admit my grievances and love that person, and it's really joyous, a really joyous feeling. I'm just, I can't believe how good that feels. And I didn't ask for it, it just, like it appears.
Oh, that's interesting.
And the feeling with it.
Yeah. Unplanned.
Yeah, it just...
That works. There's a Holy Spirit.
Where did this come from?
Yes. This is the peace that's beyond understanding. Unplanned. I didn't think of it. I didn't think of loving this person. I didn't plan on it. I didn't even know it was necessary. And yet here it is.
And the fact that I can admit grievances and hold this person. I have to do both.
Oh.
And when that happens, wow. I know that that's...
A reconciliation.
Yeah.
Wow. Not a denial. No. Denial is I love you anyway, even though you're a beep. But you do this, and I still hold you in a full understanding and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
I forgive myself for thinking this about you. Nice. Unplanned. I like that. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Carol, how did you know it's the Holy Spirit talking to you versus that ego?
Well, I think that there has to be relaxation, just really breathing and just really, yeah, just kind of like at the moment I'm not having a lot of peaceful thoughts, so it's a little hard to identify.
A good time to be
honest.
Calling it out. Good time to be calling it out.
I'm actually trying to remember.
Yeah, good. Cool, you came to the right meeting. Holy Spirit is always there.
Yeah.
Closer to you than your own heart. It's your ego that would be thinking about your heart. Oh, let me call love into this situation. That's probably the ego. With all its flavors on, you know, trying to fix the situation.
Yeah.
Good, good. Mario?
You know, it's interesting that you brought that up. I think that's why I'm here.
Okay, good.
Because, you know, I've learned, just being here, how to seek it. And asking, continue asking. Because I know that this mechanism that we have, it interrupts it. The thing, just knowing that it's there, it reveals itself to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that this ego, you know, I just know that it doesn't like me seeking it. And the thing is, as long as he doesn't like me seeking it, or whatever it is that's making me not seek it, I know that it touches me in a sense, and it's just like, okay, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that it's there,
yeah,
I'm one with it. And the thing is, I'm at peace with it. Okay, it guides me and it talks to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it fills every sense that I have. Every sense.
Wow.
Because I could touch it, smell it, feel it. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, let me tell you. It is just this beautiful place of like, oh, wait a minute. That's why I was telling you outside, this new transition, it was just like, you know, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
It's more real.
It's more real. Now that I like.
Yeah.
It's more real than this fantasy approach of the ego.
Yeah. You know, I'm like, as I was telling you, I'm in this whole new world. It's like, oh, wait a minute, look what I found in it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, like I was saying, hey,
yeah,
I get to rename all the animals?
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Very different. Kim, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit, not the ego?
Sorry, I was just going to say what I heard there too is that, like, it's always, you said something about it being always there and revealing itself, and I think that that's, like, for me, that's removing the blocks to the awareness, like, to become present with it.
You know, it's just, that's what I'm finding. It's just that every time I'm just like, we're talking, we're just like conversing, we're joking, we're just like, he's poking at me and I'm poking at him, and we're just like, okay, yeah, this is the right way. This, you know, it's a guide. Mm. Wow. You know, it's, the Holy Spirit is playful.
Yes.
Oh, he is. You know, I don't know, it's just like, he's, I don't know, it's just,
And aren't you playful when you don't see a problem?
Yeah.
Aren't you playful when you have all the time in the world? Don't you get playful? It's nice.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, it's funny, I get those glimpses all the time, and I'm like, talk about sharing that feeling. You know, people ask, what do you want? Well... You know.
Nice. Kim.
Yeah, in fact, I've become a lot more playful too, and I think when I am, my mind is much more clear than when I am not at peace, and I have some other agenda that's going on, I shut down.
Uh-huh.
I feel myself shut down.
Ooh.
And I can't relate to other people as well.
Uh-huh.
I don't enjoy being around them. My whole life I've been an isolator.
Uh-huh.
So, to not feel the... I don't even have to think about not isolating or doing it. It's not like it's part of my vocabulary anymore. I enjoy my time being alone if I am alone, and I enjoy my time being with other people. I'm very different than I was 3 years ago, you know. Mm-hmm. But for me, when I'm joyful and I'm happy and I'm playing with people, and that is a big awareness to me of Holy Spirit within me, because this is new for me too. Mm-hmm. I've always been kind of reserved and do everything right. If you can't do it right, don't do it at all. And very structured, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been a lot more free, and it's very peaceful and fun, and you know. And it's not without it's the ego slips in there all the time. It does, and it always will, you know. But when I pray,
yes.
When I'm in gratitude,
yeah.
It's Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
When I am conditional, when I find myself justifying my prayers to God, what I really mean to say is, because you know, and then I have to laugh and catch myself and go, this is so unimportant to you. You know, I just, why am I even doing this? And then I will go, Holy Spirit, help me to show me how to pray today, because I want to get on the right path for the day.
Yeah.
And I always pray out loud, and sometimes what comes out of my mouth is blows my mind. And that's Holy Spirit, because I have asked for that. And I know, and I was reading this morning about the little willingness, that's all we need.
Yes.
And I would have rather stayed in bed today.
Yeah.
And I had to go to work, and so that was part of my prayer, you know.
Yes.
Just make it a good day.
Uh-huh.
And stuff like that.
Nice. Not justifying your prayers.
Yeah.
Gratitude versus salesmanship.
It cracks me up.
Right. Yeah. When I'm selling, it's the ego.
I'm
grateful, it's the Holy Spirit, says Kim.
It doesn't take me long to catch it now, too. I used to not even realize I was doing it, and then now I catch it all the time, and I just have to laugh. Because,
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Busting the ego.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah.
Good job. Brother John, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit? What's your test?
Well, I know when it's not the Holy Spirit most of the time.
Yes.
Not all the time, for sure.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. So it depends.
Yeah.
I can't say it for sure.
Yeah.
But one thing I do know is that I get a sense of peace when I feeling, when I approach the Holy Spirit myself.
Yes.
And just give it up to the Holy Spirit. Not long after, there is, to a greater or lesser degree, a sense of peace.
Yeah.
And that's,
You know, substitute for that.
You know what I'm talking about. It's just...
Yeah.
It's just... It's awesome.
Yeah.
And also, and this has happened all my life, you know, when... it probably happened to a lot of you guys, when you leave the house and you made a list of stuff to get out of the house to bring out to when you're going to go somewhere,
uh-huh,
and you forget one thing,
yeah,
there's something in the back of my mind that says, wait a minute, there's kind of a feeling, not words, uh-huh, it's just a feeling of,
uh-huh,
wait a minute, something's not quite right, don't go yet, but there's no words,
yes,
it's just wait a minute, and it's a feeling,
uh-huh,
it communicates. You know,
like, yeah, a really good friend there to remind, mm-hmm, you one more thing.
And so the times that I said, weird, wow, just kept on going.
Yeah,
there was something.
Yeah,
you know, it happened a few times, yes, until I stopped and started thinking. Wait, yeah, a minute, okay,
yeah,
I started paying attention.
Yeah,
and then definitely, yeah, there was something.
Yes,
and I handled it, and it was all good.
You know, that kind of feeling.
It's like a hunch.
Like a hunch, that kind of sense is what the psychics feel or what they are aware of. It's not necessarily a voice, not necessarily a picture of the thing that, you know, or the person is, but it's a hunch, like what you're describing. And this is in the back of the book, it says, are psychic powers real? You know, it says, well, some people, yeah, they're more attuned, they're more open. Like, that part of your mind that would be aware of your intention to bring the thermos or whatever it was, mm-hmm, that part of your mind is available. It can be more available or less available. And so that's interesting that you said it just the way you did. Because, you know, I've had a couple of friends who are psychics, some professionals, and so I can ask them some of these questions, you know, And it's funny because that's pretty much how it is for them, and they just learn how to relax from trying to know, trying to analyze, and they just open to a message, and they trust, and they go get that thing,
mm-hmm,
or they go back and say, "I know it's something. I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna go back in the house and just get it."
Yeah.
And then by the time you get to the house, you remember what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of trust, not circling until you remember, then go back. That would be the ego. That's good. Good, good. Yeah.
Can I ask another question? I think it's related to, yeah, all of this.
Yeah.
So, when we talk about our will and God's will are the same, and I say that with question.
Good.
Because I don't trust that, right?
Good, good.
So, when it talks about our will and God's will are the same, how do we know then? How do we trust our thoughts that our thoughts or what we think is our will is God's will, because it's so wrapped around ego?
Yes, good question. No, it's a great question. It's a perfect question. Yes, it's a very, very important, and it's exactly what we're talking about now.
Because it makes you question what your thoughts are and what's true about them and what you believe.
Yes, yes. And you know some of those thoughts are not God's thoughts.
Yes.
And you know the ego's pitching in with some idea on how to fix a situation. You think, well, that's probably not a thought I would think with God. Yeah, that's right.
And it says you have as much power as God does.
You are.
Okay, well then, if that's the case, uh-huh, I will my life to be da-da-da-da-da. But yeah, that's not what that means.
Yeah, and in fact, when you say, I will my life to win a lottery next Wednesday night, I think the drawing is at 8, that will do.
Mm-hmm.
And why that doesn't happen is because it is not a thought that you think with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you texted God ahead of time, God, I'm about to ask for a lottery. You too, ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Not that. As you learn from your studies, God is not a person.
Right.
And God is a reality.
At that point, I made God a person.
Yes.
So, it's just, I'm missing one piece of the puzzle.
Good.
To cross over to that understanding,
yes.
I can't get it.
Yes, you're right there. Good, good, good.
That's it. I feel like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. My precious, my precious gods. We love gods. Must have gods.
And God's laughing because, you know, it's my desire, but...
Yeah, so the first step is, God is no respecter of persons. God is not a person.
Right. Well, that Hobbit personality seems to be a good exemplification of the ego.
It's fascinating that way. Yeah. Really obsessed. Really obsessed, right? Yeah. Gollum. Yeah. And so the first step on that is to recognize that God is not a person or a personality.
Mm-hmm. So then, does that then mean the only will that can be in line with God's will is truth and light?
Mm-hmm.
Truth.
Yes.
So truth and love, or truth or love. That's the only will that can be in line with God's will.
Yes.
So then, why in the hell pray for anything else?
Amen, sister.
Oh, that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted a different explanation. I want to know, okay, how do I pray to have my life...
Justification.
Okay, now, let's talk about prayer for a minute now. So if God is truth, and if the only thing that you can actually have is truth, in other words, you can't have an illusion, because they're not true. You can't have a lie, because that may last a little while, but then it will collapse, not being the truth. So you can't have any of the other varieties of prayer except for the truth. Now that you can have, because it's already here. So let me pray to see what I already have. What's the truth that is already here? It's the only thing you can actually have is the truth.
So when you're in a situation, when you're in a difficult period in your life,
yes.
How do you hang on to the intangible to heal what seems to be all tangible? Because the intangible doesn't erase the tangible. It doesn't erase what's going on in our lives.
Let me lay a big thought on you.
Yeah, but you have to go through it to know the difference.
No,
to even care about the difference. That's right. Let me lay a big power, a big trip on you here. Big concept.
Get ready.
Yeah, get ready.
I got my pen ready.
Yeah, get ready. This is something to take into meditation, and this is a save your butt, a big perspective thing that you can carry all the way home. And it's this. There are not two powers. There is only one power, ever and always. If something is happening from the expression or use of power, there's only one power. That means there's not another opposing power any, ever, or ever. There's one power, and it's working right now. Big thought. You got to think about it for a while. You got to recognize that one power. Not two means no competing. It's really an important thought. It means there's nothing to win. There's nothing to... It's already happening. Whatever it is, it's already happening at full speed. There's only one power, see? There's nothing opposing it.
Right.
So...
It's when we let the illusion get in the way of that one power.
Yes?
We struggle to... tap into it.
How does an illusion get in the way of the one power?
We have to believe it.
Yes!
Believe in the illusion.
We use the one power to to put an illusory block in front of the power.
Mm-hmm.
And then we and the power and the block move along at power speed.
Mm-hmm. An example of which would be the idea of scarcity.
Scarcity,
mm-hmm.
lack,
mm-hmm.
loss, death becomes a end to the power.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening is, it's like you're going full speed thinking you're stopped.
Well, that's just a manifestation of your power.
Of your power. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. Very, very important concept. You can meditate on this. You meditate on this, and the Holy Spirit will coach, perhaps, did for me, will coach you into a whole understanding of what the beep is going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you surrender to only one power, the ego in the separation, whole separation argument, starts to fall apart. As you say, but there's only one power. Ego says, but there's good and evil, but there's only one power. How do you sit and reconcile that, good and evil, with only one power? But there's life and death. Sit and reconcile life and death under one power. Let your Holy Spirit talk with you as you say, what does this mean? It's a rich, rich, rich vein. Okay? Now, it also means, I'm just going to lay this on you, it also means that when you pray, since there's only one power, whatever it is that you might be praying for is already provided at its maximum. It's already waiting. If there's something more for you to have that you think you can have, if only you asked for it, that means you think it's there. It's there. But you need to ask for it, which means you're not allowing it to be there. Using the one power to block it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. You say, oh, I'm using the one power.
You're validating your lack?
No? Yes, that's right. You're validating your lack.
So you're exactly. saying you can ask for like a material thing.
Yes.
Huh.
And you'd be using the one power to recognize you don't have it. That's what you're doing. By asking for something you don't have...
Oh, you're confirming lack. Okay.
I just see what you're saying.
Confirming
okay.
lack. Yep, you're circling and you're saying, oh, I don't have it.
Doesn't mean that even if you recognize you don't have... Doesn't mean that if you pray for it that the power will bring it to you. It validates that you don't have it.
So and that's all it does.
The whole.
You recognize the whole.
Back to power again.
The gift is you recognize that you're
okay.
exercising, you're affirming lack.
And it's always a path of just recognizing that the only important thing is that power and that, yeah.
And it's working at 100%. Either love is or it isn't. Okay. Either the power is on or it's off.
Okay. But that's not to say...
Yes.
That there aren't tangibles that happen in life
yes.
when you're in the zone with that power. I mean,
yes.
things happen.
Yes.
Things happen in life. I mean, your mind is just weird.
Like Walt described.
Like
but
Walt
they happen by surprise.
Clarity.
It'll happen because
clearness,
you prayed and you clicked your heels three times.
Things materialize.
At exactly you know. Noon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened.
Yeah.
That's not how it materialized.
Mm-hmm.
It materialized because... all the power was already presenting it. The you who would pray is the ego. You would ask for something is the ego. The you who would pray to get something to help God understand what you need.
Mm-hmm.
See, God is only one power, so it already knows.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is you living with what you need.
Hmm.
It's already providing what you need. How is that true, Andrew? It's already providing what I need. Because there's only one power, and it's you! It's working!
So I never have to be afraid or worried about anything that I think is lacking in my life, because it's already... If it's something I think, and maybe I don't need it.
Basically, you're the author of your own projections.
Yes, that I get.
And maybe just pure trust, then. Just the purity of trust.
Yeah, it's a purity of trust. Out of recognizing you can do nothing other than trust and tell the truth.
Because it's all... I'm getting it.
You getting it? Are you getting
I'm
it?
I'm getting it. It's all that... Help me.
Well, because so I'm reading Journey Beyond Words, and what is really helping me, because that book just says over and over and over again, like, it literally, the title of the book is what the book's about. It's like, you can't think about what I'm saying. You just have to pause and feel into it. Like, imagine. Just imagine if this thing that I'm saying is true. Stop thinking about it in words. Mm-hmm. And you're just supposed to sit with that feeling. Mm-hmm. And so, I think, I guess that's when I have those moments of trust for me. It is when I do shut up my thoughts, you know, but this was so profound for me. The confirming the lack just really hit me.
Yes.
I had never thought about
that.
It's just my mind just exploded.
Is it when you're asking, you're confirming the lack?
That is correct.
You're using the one power to confirm you don't have it.
You're using the one power.
Turn that around and say, oh, I get it. It really is. It's a nothing. It's a nothing.
Yes.
That I think I need.
Yes.
You know, and then thank you that I already have everything that I need.
In this very moment.
And then if you could turn that around into gratitude, is very powerful.
It's very powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was hearing.
Yeah.
When I saw this.
Yes.
Gratitude would be honoring what you have in this moment.
Yes.
There is no lack, and therefore you can enjoy, you can play, you can whatever.
Yes, and you can welcome whatever's coming next. Mm-hmm. But you can certainly understand the fullness of the present moment and know that in this one moment, here I am, the side of the road, I'm out of gas, I'm out of money, I'm out of friends, and my cell phone is dead too. God, I've got a bunch of things I want to pray for.
And it doesn't get any better.
Doesn't get any better than this.
And then you just go,
take notes,
okay,
God, right? So first of all,
what's going to happen? Yeah, it can get exciting.
It can get very exciting to find fullness in emptiness.
If you just don't get caught up in the, oh man, this sucks.
Yep.
But if you get caught up in the, oh, this is okay. Now what?
That's right.
And
you recognize that there's only one power, and all that one power is providing no gas, flat tire, no cell phone, and no friends.
Right.
And now it's no daylight, too.
And bills, and you know.
Yeah.
One time in my life, a while back, I lost everything.
Right.
I was right on the streets.
Okay.
Nothing. I mean, nothing.
Huh.
They took my motorhome away from me, but I was sleeping in. Because I didn't pay the bills. Tickets.
Mm.
Anyway, they took it, put a boot on it, and I had nothing. I mean, zero, nothing in my pocket. But I said to myself, okay, I've got zero, and I got nothing. I got the clothes on my back and maybe a satchel too. And so I said to myself, well, I'm not going to get bummed out about this. I am not going to get depressed over this. No way. No way. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. This is bullshit. I'm not going there. Before I found the course, and so I said to myself, I'm just gonna not have a bad attitude about this, and I'm just gonna keep going and not worry about it, and that really helped me. Just a
good choice.
I wanted to feel sorry for myself so bad, but I said
but
no.
It sounds like you knew that was not gonna lead you anywhere because you feeling sorry for yourself with nothing is just too pathetic.
Now, isn't that,
right?
Isn't that Holy Spirit working to be able to bring about a positive attitude and gratitude in the midst of really seemingly devastating a situation that you're in?
Yes. Yeah. It's lesson 34.
Wow.
I could choose peace instead of this.
You know, it seems so obvious to me. It's like, oh, I'm supposed to do that? No, I'm not going to do what I think
refuse.
I'm supposed to do.
Refuse.
The world would say that I'm supposed to do.
Yes, that's hitting bottom.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You know, that what brings me here.
Nowhere to go but up.
Right. That what brings me here is that same feeling today of what you were explaining right now about, you know, just not giving into that bullshit where, you know, and the thing is that, okay.
No, buying the bullshit.
Yeah, buying the bullshit. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And I'm not in that situation. I have everything, and I'm feeling that same way. And it's like, I'm just in a transition where it's so brand new. It's like,
that's cool.
It's just the silence is so loud. It's just like, okay, wait a minute. Where am I? Mm-hmm. And so,
It's like a crossroads. You can go down that negative, depressed,
right?
Exactly.
Road.
Thank
right?
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Perfect.
Yeah. I feel like I have everything too, and then my prayer will be, okay. I've got everything I need or want. I feel no lack or anything like that. But I could use a little more light. Bring it on. I'm like, what the hell? I'm just never grateful.
Yeah.
You'd be perfect if you just had a little bit more.
I might be a little bit of an addict. I'm not sure.
All right, well, that kind of invites us to go to page 494.
Uh-huh.
First.
Isn't that your page, Julie?
One of them.
One of Julie's pages. I mean, once you see this, you just... The practicality is just never to be forgotten. So, let's start with paragraph 20. You know what? Let's jump to 21 and save a little time.
From the belief in sin, the faith in chaos must follow. It is because it follows that it seems to be a logical conclusion, a valid step in ordered thought.
And when we say sin, in this case, is separation. It's that there's two powers. And I have something to lose. And I have something to, you know, to worry about. And so I'm going to start preparing for this non-trust. Go ahead.
The steps to chaos do follow neatly from their starting point. Each is a different form in the progression of truth's reversal, leading still deeper into terror and away from truth. Think not one step is smaller than another, nor that return from one is easier. The whole descent from heaven lies in each one, and where your thinking starts, there it must end.
And what does heaven mean in A Course in Miracles? Heaven means knowledge. Heaven means understanding. Your understanding is heaven. Heaven means light in you. That is what heaven means. It's not a place. It's simply the dawning of the truth and the complete abiding of you in the truth. That is heaven. It doesn't matter where you are, right? Well, the truth is with you. And that's what heaven is. So, you know, now let's read about the... Walt, you ready?
22.
Yeah, 22. What's it like not to be in heaven?
Brother, take not one step in the descent to hell. For having taken one, you will not recognize the rest for what they are. And they will follow. Attack in any form has placed your foot upon the twisted stairway that leads from heaven. Yet any instant it is possible to have all this undone. How can you know whether you chose the stairs to heaven or the way to hell? Quite easily. How do you feel? Is peace in your awareness? Are you certain which way you go?
Beautiful.
And are you sure the goal of heaven is to be reached? If not, you walk alone. Ask, then, your friends to join with you and give you certainty of where you go.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay.
It's that slippery slope. Take not one step in the descent to hell, for having taken one, you'll not recognize the rest for what they are, and they will follow. We've all been there. You just lead yourself right into a darkness, and then you get more darkness because you're going into the darkness. Or not. Don't do that. Like John described, I'm not going there. I'm not. And it's not. I'm not going there. Doesn't get better than this. And with just that break in the downward cycle, forgiveness, letting a release has occurred, and you don't have to go into the darkness. You'll find yourself, wow, I'm strangely optimistic.
That's how it was when I lost my last job.
Oh, yeah.
It was only a minute. I thought, well, I think I'm supposed to be depressed about this. And then I wasn't. It was very different.
Let's read a little further about this concept. Carol, jump to 499 and read paragraph 2.
Which one?
499, the first paragraph 2.
Oh, wait, I thought you said the first paragraph and then you said 2.
Well, because there's two paragraphs 2 on that page. If you're super observant. Like apparently Julie is.
She's still reading paragraph 1.
I know she's trying to be helpful.
Here, let's start again.
Really appreciate it.
Sorry. So is it
to learn this course?
Number 2?
Yeah, to learn this course.
The first number 2. Oh, it's the first. I missed the whole conversation.
Sorry.
Yeah, the goal of specialness and middle of the page.
To learn this course requires willingness to question every value that you hold. Not one can be kept hidden and obscure, but it will jeopardize your learning. No belief is neutral. Everyone has the power to dictate each decision you make. For a decision is a conclusion based on everything that you believe. It is the outcome of belief and follows it as surely as does suffering following guilt and freedom sinlessness. There is no substitute for peace. What God creates has no alternative. The truth arises from what He knows. And your decisions come from your beliefs as certainly as all creation grows in His mind because of what He knows.
That's pretty meaty, huh? Okay. To learn this course requires willingness to question every value that you hold. Not that the Holy Spirit holds, not that right thinking holds. No, we found the problem. It's you. So we got to question what you think is true. The you is the one who would pray for something to change in the world to make you happy. That's a clue that it's your ego in charge. And it's one of the values. So we've got to start thinking thoughts we think with God that does not have to do with your body being happy. Okay? So, question every value that you hold. And it's really easy to say every because this book recognizes that you are drunk on being a body. Making a body happy. It's like really easy for this book. not one thing that you hold can be kept hidden and obscure, but it will jeopardize your learning. No belief is neutral. Every one of them has the power to dictate each decision you make. For a decision is a conclusion based on everything that you believe. This is why doing the workbook over a year's time is required to slowly peel off the stench of the ego from your decision making. To get into trust. To get into awareness of how much love there is outside of everything you thought you knew. It takes a while to awaken to the presence of that power. Even here in the dream of separation. But if there's only one power, it's even here. Okay. It is the outcome of belief and follows it as surely as does suffering follow guilt and freedom sinlessness. And that's a decision. I'm backing up now a sentence where a decision is a conclusion based on everything you believe. A decision is the outcome of belief. And how does that work? It's because if you believe there are two powers, you just then you're deciding that you need something you don't have, and that you need the higher power, the loving power, to overcome the loss power. And you're actually now making loss real and making it opposing God or truth. That's why I say there's a big awakening awaiting, perhaps, if you recognize that there's just one power, it's always working.
Mm-hmm. It's us. And
yes.
We have the power to think whatever, you know, we have the power to do what you just said, to
yes.
oppose God.
You bet.
Yeah. Are you, that's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You can align right now in difficulty, in a losing situation for the body, you can have a winning situation for your mind. If there's one power and you trust it. You have to, because there's one power. There's nothing else to trust.
Can we apply this to something practical for just
yeah.
a moment?
Because
what if the thing I want isn't... like? So for me right now, it's that I keep having dread about certain tasks.
Yes.
And I just dread them, and I drag them out, and it stresses me out even more. So it's like,
yes.
the thing I want isn't even a thing, it's actually a non, like it's the opposite. So like, what is driving me to choose that? Like what, I guess I just need to apply to something like that for a minute.
You bet.
Than I want to win the lottery, or
you
like.
You bet. Let's do the negative. Okay, you get that. So that is an obsession with making Julie's life better or different. And that Julie's life were better, you didn't have to do that thing. Like for me, it was my taxes. I actually found myself not in perfect peace. It happened. I admit it. My name is Andrew. I'm an egoholic. I'm an egomaniac. And I was buzzing along, and I have difficult taxes. I have five Schedule C's, and they were going on, and then there was this extra piece of paper, and TurboTax says, "I'm sorry, we can't help you with that." I'm like, "Whoa, dude!"
I wish I could have seen that.
Oh. I was like, "Oh, this isn't good. This is Friday, 7:30 p.m. I was supposed to be done with this already." And it just kept coming and coming. Sorry. And it wouldn't allow me to ignore it. I'm just going to file it anyway. It's only $39. Nope, you can't do this. You need to have support sheet. And it's not... Oh. I just had to step back and say, wow, I'm not at peace. I just say, oh my God. I had to step back and say, what's going on here? And so I had to do this exercise myself. And I was dreading doing the work or finding a solution for this problem. I was resisting and kicking and screaming. I pressed it four times. Send. Right? Just send it anyway. Let the IRS do whatever they do. And that's where I was.
You're frustrated.
I was frustrated. I just didn't want it to be true. That I had to fish out and figure out and create on my own and possibly file on paper, because TurboTax won't do it. You have to press the other button, which is print out 50 sheets of paper and take that to the post office. After I get a form off the internet and create a special support sheet for being a partner in this investment from years ago that I sold because last year I ran into this problem. I said, I'm out of here. It's just a little, it's a little investment. But it has international exposure, and there's a sports chief for international. Oh my God! On and on and on. I just don't want it to be true anymore. I just want to be free of it. I do not want to deal with this detail. And yet, if TurboTax says this is going to trigger an audit to us, it's triggering us. We're catching it. You can't file until you have all the sheets, and this requires a support sheet for that. That line item entry that you made. Because it was on the piece of paper I got from the company. I said, oh, I can't undo this. I was boxed. It was in a corner. I said, I'm not at peace. I just get off my chair and say, what is going on? Ego's got me. Ego has me. And so the first thing I did is I stepped back and I stepped out of being Andrew. Because I was so invested in being Andrew with taxes and this difficulty, and I'm going to lose yet another day, maybe the whole weekend, on this problem. And I stepped back and I realized Andrew has a problem with taxes. Because I'm so practiced now knowing that I don't fit in Andrew. I am not a body. This book has trained me. And I've spent enough time aware that whatever I am doesn't fit in a body. So there is another way. And it is just by releasing the whole idea of Andrew, even only for a minute, to collect my wits. I do not have to suffer for what Andrew thinks is a problem. Andrew would pray for a solution. Andrew wants things different, even though he is going to do exactly whatever it takes to get through his life. I just stepped out of Andrew just for a few seconds. That's all it took. Took a few breaths. And then it began to get a little silly. And I had a good laugh. I said, I don't have to worry about what Andrew is going through. So I stepped back. I let the Holy Spirit reorient me back to what I really am. And then I can enjoy. I got right back into it. And a nice solution came up. And I solved it. But I first had to get the hell out of the complainer. Because Andrew did have a problem. And it was really ugly. And it's just horrible. And there's nobody else to blame but Andrew for buying this little investment years ago. And continuing to pay the price for something that loses money every single year. Andrew has great stories around that. But I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to live with that. I don't have to experience those negative thoughts. And I didn't. I stepped right out of it. And with just a few breaths of ease, I could step back in now, and now feeling silly for being so Andrew, so small, such a suffering little human. The door's opened. So I would recommend you do that. Get out of Julie for a second. Julie is a struggling, striving, suffering, poor woman who's unfairly treated by circumstances on a constant basis, and she's going to die anyway. So why? But you are not that. She's pathetic. You're not pathetic. See, there is a better way, and you have to touch that. It only takes a fraction of a second to laugh at. To laugh at that struggling little human, like all the other struggling humans, none of which are God or truth or love. They're all blocks to love.
I have this vision of, you know, passing over to the other side and having this, of course there's no time on the other side at all, but to be able to look back and go and have a real understanding of the illusions that we put ourselves through, the illusions of this world, and all the pain and weird things we did to ourselves because we didn't know what we were.
Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm going through.
And at that point, it'd be very visible that the one power was working the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfectly. And unopposed. Remember that now. If there's one power, it's unopposed. That's the key to the meditation.
Can you say that full speed ahead thing? Like, you said that we put a we're still moving full speed ahead, but we put a block there. We're moving full speed ahead and we think we're stopped?
Yes.
Like, what exactly do you mean?
For example, I'm going to die. And when I die, I will be gone. And as I approach my death, I'm thinking of being dead. You're doing full speed ahead at the power and speed of creation. Are you thinking of not creation?
Okay. So there's also the idea you've shared before of like this concept of creation is also the idea when you've shared that like life, the idea of life or what life is completely unaffected by.
Yes.
Like
good memory.
One flower dies or
yes.
Like life is. I don't have words for it.
All right,
life,
so right.
Life just continues to manifest, and like one flower dying has yes. No effect.
Yes. So this is a perfect application of that discussion. We'll bring it back now. Thank you. So, life is truth. Life is a thought you would think with God. A flower. It's not a thought you would think with God. Because a flower, although it's a manifestation of life, it dies. And it ends. And it becomes dust. But wait a minute, it came from dust. From something else ending. And that could lead you back up the staircase to life. Life, which is alive. Death does not come from life. That's a quote from the book. Death does not come from life, you see, because life is living. That's what life is. And no ending of life anywhere changes the power of living. None of it. Even all of it! If every single living thing died, there would still be life, right? Life is not affected by its manifestation. Follow that, Brother John.
So it really is like the idea of creation, right? It's almost like a concept of creation that we can actually wrap our heads around because we have this like almost like we've been a witness to it.
So it's kind of like sounding like letting go, like you know, hey, it's dead. Let it go.
Let go of the attachment to outcome. Go back to source. When you understand the source, you then understand its intent. And its one power is always manifesting love and light and life constantly. As we've discussed, even a shadow requires light.
No, it's all come through the mind of God anyway. So
right?
It can't be dead ever.
Okay. Yeah, so we're just a manifestation of what we are.
Call it the one power tonight.
In this time. In
yeah.
A manifestation of the one power in this time and space. And then there will likely be another time and space when we look at completely different. But we're still the one power.
Yes. Unopposed.
So I look completely different from Julie, but we're still the one power. Right?
When you happen to see death occur, it's only the illusion of death.
Right?
And
it's the illusion of death, the story of death, the analysis of death, the manifestation.
It's just a manifestation of the separation.
And you can't experience death without the understanding of life. You can't experience a shadow without the contrast of light creating the shadow. Blocking light makes a shadow. So aren't we talking about light still? Even though we're saying the word shadow, we're saying the absence. We're saying that fear is a call for love, an unconscious recognition of the light that's been denied. It's all about love. It's all about light, all the time, unopposed, forever. If you notice a shadow, you're a light noticing shadow. Which is lack of light, which is still light. How thick is a shadow? Exactly.
It really puts things into perspective when you see it that way and you see all the people in your life that are not so nice, or, you know, when you see them in this reality, they're not so nice. When you see them in this reality, there's no resistance. There's no, if only you could hang on to this reality of what they are as part of the one power, it would make, everything else disappears.
Mm-hmm. That's
with
right.
These people.
That's right. They're included now.
Yeah.
They're part two. They now are your brothers. And they're welcome to your love. Mm-hmm. And their well-being is as important as yours. Mm-hmm. Even as they do what they do in this illusion.
So it just takes that practice of remembering that. You're right. You can't put words to it.
Yeah.
It's the practice of knowing that power.
Yes.
As we all are.
Could you say that it would be like remembering the sonship?
Yes.
Would be a way
that's a way to express it,
yeah.
If you know what the words mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way to sum it up.
Yeah.
Another way to sum it up is to know that everything is extension and there's no separation of cause and effect. That's two powers. You got a cause, and then you got an effect, and the effect has its own causes, and sometimes they clash. That's dualism and plurality. Nope. One sun shining, and the rays are going off and growing, and you're one of those rays, and you're going as fast as you frickin' can. You just speed of light. That sun is growing. Do you know that? The sun has been growing 4.5 billion years at the speed of light. Big ball. Bigger than you can imagine. It's 9 billion light years across. Mm-hmm. But not anymore. It's dark outside of that. Just a ball in space. So you are that. You're an extension of God going at full speed. At full speed. You're having the ride of your life. That is your life. Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's look at a couple of things here.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Okay, let's pull off tonight's reading so that we can have some progress. Okay, Mario, are you up?
Yes.
Would you go to page 411, paragraph 17, and read that for us.
I am made welcome in the state of grace, which means you have at least forgiven me. Which means you have at last forgiven me. For I become the symbol of your sin, and so I had to die instead of you.
Who's the I? Who's he reading for?
Jesus.
Jesus. This is Jesus.
For I became the symbol of your sin, and so I had to die instead of you. To the ego, sin means death, and so atonement is achieved through murder. Salvation is looked upon as a way to which the Son of God was killed instead of you. Yet, would I offer you my body, you whom I love, knowing its littleness? Or would I teach that bodies not keep us apart? Mine was of no greater value than yours, no better means for communication of salvation, but not its source. No one can die for anyone, and death does not atone for sins. But you can live to show it, to show it is not real. The body does appear to be the symbol of sin, while you believe that it can get you what you want. While you believe that it gives you pleasure, you will also believe that it can bring you pain. To think you could be satisfied and happy with a little is to hurt yourself. And to limit the happiness that you would have called upon pain to fill your meager store and make your life complete. This is completion as the ego sees it, where guilt creeps in where happiness has been removed and substitutes for it. Communion is another kind of completion which goes beyond guilt because it goes beyond the body.
Beyond the body.
Wow.
Key phrase. Okay, so this is Jesus' job, is a paragraph like this. To say, hey man, body, been there, done that.
Yeah.
It's not all that. That's Jesus' job now, is to be a bridge, to be one who was fully a body and said, there must be a better way. I'm going all the way. And all Jesus is, it represents the human condition that surrendered to the spiritual awakening entirely. And as he says of himself in the Manual for Teachers, we don't have time to read it tonight, but we hit it usually every Christmas. He says, you know, the only difference between, Jesus says in the book, between me and you, is that now I only listen to the Holy Spirit and used to listen to the ego a lot, brother. Right? Right? That's what he says. He says, you're still caught up listening to the ego, thinking there's wisdom there.
Wow.
You're still addicted to listening to that loud voice of lack and loss. Yeah. Whereas I, Jesus says, I put all of that behind me and I only listen to the Holy Spirit and I'm having a great time. And I've got infinite time now that the time and space are under my control because I woke up out of separation. I got all the time there is to help you.
So is this basically telling me that this communion, I mean, basically how you're trying to explain it, but in a different way, and how it's kind of written in this Bible, this is my body and blood that's going to be given up to you. Hey, now you're telling me, hey, just be in communion with me.
Yeah.
Understand what I'm talking.
Yeah. To understand that I'm beyond the body.
Okay.
I'll give it up.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I'll give it up for you to know me in truth. That's it. You got it. Turn to page 479 in the workbook. Keep your finger here. We'll be right back. So flip a lot to the right to 479. This is such an interesting read. Kim, when you get there, just start that for us.
I wrote so beautiful at the top of this. What am I? I am God's Son, complete and healed and whole, shining in the reflection of His love.
Okay, and as she reads this, I want you to think of the I as Jesus. And you are here listening to Jesus say, well, you want to know what I am? Here's what I'm awakened to. Start over, please.
What am I? I am God's Son, complete and healed and whole, shining in the reflection of His love. In me is His creation, sanctified and guaranteed eternal life. In me is love perfected, fear impossible, and joy established without opposite. I am the holy home of God Himself. I am the heaven where His love resides. I am His holy sinlessness itself, for in my purity abides His own.
And I might remind you that elsewhere in the book and in the Bible, He says, you know, whatever I've done, well, you're going to do as well, and probably more. Mm-hmm. You go beyond me. This is what I am, he says. He's speaking for you. He's speaking for your awakened mind. He is your awakened mind.
Is that because when he was a body,
yes,
there were no awakened minds at the time? As he says, is that why he says, you'll do more because now we have more awakened minds?
Oh, there's so much support. Every single moment after his awakening, and before his awakening, mm-hmm, every single moment there was more and more support. Mm-hmm. All of existence, all of creation, all of love seeks itself, always. That is the one power manifesting. So he knows you're going to experience even more than this. Mm. There's more and more support every second. Every imaginary second.
Mm-hmm. But we just aren't talking about a form in time.
Yes.
That is in us.
Yes.
It's part of us.
Yes.
We just have to become aware of it.
Yes, that's right. And so all of it's one mind. And Jesus was not alone in the effects of his thoughts. When you, as Jesus, chose the Holy Spirit, that part of your mind did it, awoken to it. In other words, hit bottom. Said, I've had enough. You know what? There's no reason to go any further away from love or God. And turn back to love and God. And has been turning back ever since. That is your mind, Walt. Yeah. And then you, the part, one they call Walt, that's paying attention to Walt, is reliving the dream of separation over and over. But the Jesus part of your mind, the dream is over completely. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. Did you say that for Jesus had no private thoughts when you awoken as Jesus? What did you say?
What?
It's gone. Okay.
I'm just trying to, you know, it's interesting if you try to put yourself in the mind of Jesus, you know, and I think about when he was getting crucified and how could his mind not go to ego, but he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yes.
Through that whole process.
Yes.
And if I try to put myself in that mindset, I can feel the total connection with that love and
yes,
and peace.
Yes.
I don't think I would be strong enough to go through something like that yes, myself without not cowering, but
succumbing
to the...
And yet, because there's only one mind, part of you absolutely is strong enough to go through that. The part of you that awakens to love, where the part of you that I'm speaking to now, was awakened to fullness of love, you would have no hesitation. You would say, oh my God, I need to help Julie and Walt and Carol and Andrew and Mario and John, and enough talk. I'm going to do it by showing that I can live without the body.
Yeah,
and I need to do it right away.
I can see that.
And you would say,
yeah,
buddy done, life, I got to get on to this next teaching.
Not important, yeah.
Yeah, it's the body's so quiet. The body is such a story now. For the body to speak and the body to give parables and the body to say, I am my Father, one, and there is no death, is all so much talk.
Mm-hmm.
With your awareness and your awakenedness of being spirit, you can say, I'm going to drop the body now, and then I have to wait a couple of days so you really know I'm dead. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to you. And then I will spread in your hearts and no longer in your minds. Enough words. I'm going to awaken in your heart. And I will be speaking now with the Holy Spirit to you. Even as I might show up as a light body for a little while. But you will now hear me in your inside your own holy as the Holy Spirit. And so this is his rebirth. That's the resurrection, the death of the body, and the resurrection was as the light body, as the spiritual presence, which is now the Holy, you know, it's the Holy Spirit manifesting the Holy Spirit. It's still to this day, we still say this Jesus character. There are many. He's not the only one. He's the only mind that went there. But he decided to make a real go of it. Yeah. Okay, next paragraph. Brother John?
Where are we?
Paragraph 2 on 479.
Okay. Our use for words is almost over now. Yet in the final days of this 1 year, we gave to God together. You and I, we found a single purpose that we shared. And thus you joined with me, so what I am are you as well. The truth of what we are is not for words to speak or nor describe. Yet we can realize our function here, and words can speak of this and teach it too, if we exemplify the words in us.
We are the bringers of salvation. We accept our part as saviors of the world, which through our joint forgiveness is redeemed. And this, our gift, is therefore given us. We look on everyone as brother, and perceive all things as kindly and as good. We do not seek a function that is past the gate of heaven. Knowledge will return when we have done our part. We are concerned only with giving welcome to the truth.
Our eyes, ours are the eyes through which Christ's vision sees a world redeemed from every thought of sin. Ours are the ears that hear the voice for God proclaim the world as sinless. Ours the minds that join together as we bless the world. And from the oneness that we have attained, we call as all our brothers, asking them to share our peace and consummate our joy.
We are the holy messengers of God who speak for Him and carry his word to everyone whom He has sent to us. We learn that it is written in our hearts, and thus our minds are changed about the aim for which we came and which we seek to serve. We bring glad tidings to the Son of God, who thought He suffered. Now He is redeemed, and as He sees the gates of heaven stand open before Him, He will enter in and disappear into the heart of God.
Flip forward, keep flipping to the right, to 87, practically the end of the book.
487?
Yeah, just 87 in the back of the book.
Oh, 87.
And do we have time to read this? I think we don't. So let's read something shorter. Flip to the front of the book. Cover kind of the same what I wanted to touch on page 73. Uh-huh. Talk a little more about Jesus in a sweet way. And let's just read. See this? The invitation to the Holy Spirit. This is so beautiful. It was so. Let's read the first three paragraphs of this.
Carol, I think it's good.
The invitation to the Holy Spirit. Healing is a thought by which two minds perceive their oneness and become glad.
That's like Kim, where she says, geez, if I could recognize that my stinking brother over there is actually a manifestation of the same thing I am, and it's all going at full speed. There's a healing that occurs that otherwise is not reconcilable, because that SOB is causing problems, and I would never be that person, is the ego's take of it. And yet, the Holy Spirit with the same person can see the similarity. That's your goal. That is your job, and that's your homework. Bring it.
Now I lost my place.
That's yeah, this gladness, sentence two.
Oh, yeah, okay. This gladness calls to every part of the sonship to rejoice with them and lets God go out into them and through them. Only the healed mind can experience revelation with lasting effect, because revelation is an experience of pure joy. If you do not choose to be wholly joyous, your mind cannot have what it does not choose to be.
Okay, hold on there. And so revelation is this experience of the peace that goes beyond understanding. Revelation is the seeing of the sameness in what otherwise is different. You're not going to see it. You're going to know it.
You know when you see it.
You will actually know it by not seeing it with the body's eyes, but with the spiritual eye, which is what Christ's vision is. It will report different things than the eyes would report. This is a spiritual awakening. This is seeing the unity with your mind. Even though the body's eyes would report differences.
You'll see things and then know things automatically.
That's correct. You will know the sameness and the similarity. And that's a different way of seeing.
It's like this meeting tonight for me. I can't explain it. But it's like this meeting tonight for me.
Yes. It's a knowing. If the words are going to fail for sure, mm-hmm. but the experience is genuine, and it's like the very next step that you would take, you're taking. Mm-hmm. That's how certain this is. Mm-hmm. And you know it because you're taking it right now. You can feel it. Even though the words kind of fall short, but you say, oh yeah, this is the right direction. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So are we tapping into the spiritual senses?
Yes.
Yes.
Spiritual awareness. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah. Good. Let's continue.
Remember that spirit knows no difference between having and being. The higher mind thinks according to the laws spirit obeys, and therefore honors only the laws of God. To spirit, getting is meaningless, and giving is all. Having everything, spirit holds everything by giving it, and thus creates as the Father created. While this kind of thinking is totally alien to having things, even to the lower mind, it is quite comprehensible in connection with ideas. If you share a physical possession, you do divide its ownership. If you share an idea, however, you do not lessen it. All of it is still yours, although all of it has been given away. Further, if the one to whom you give it accepts it as his, he reinforces it in your mind and thus increases it. If you can accept the concept that the world is one of ideas, the whole belief is the false association the ego makes between giving and losing is gone.
Like the concept of truth, which is life. Life gives itself away and lives in that flower. And life manifests in the leaves and the colors and the stamen and the petals and it gives itself wholly to the flower. And the flower makes life more than just an idea. It makes it live. Wow! Have you ever stared at a flower in the direct sunlight in awe? And felt, what the heck going on here?
I was high a few times.
It will make you high if you weren't already on some other substance. And this is the complete surrender of life, becoming more, forgiving itself completely away. And then the flower takes all of that, whatever life put to it, and it holds it as long as it can, and then it's nothing.
So but life ideas, is more. These shared ideas are spreading ideas,
yes.
By definition.
Yes.
And that's how religions get started.
And this is how the truth gets manifested. Yeah. Okay. And becomes bigger and larger. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Let's continue.
So the truth has degrees, You learn as the ideas are spread, they grow.
Yes.
And the more people, the people that know them, increase them. What's the word for it? Exponentially.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, manifest, and it's the same truth becoming more available and enjoyed more and shared more, and then it comes back to its source, and it's even bigger at the source for recognizing that it came back to the source. Do you see the circle? Mm-hmm. As you give, you receive. Mm-hmm. It is true for all expressions of mind, even the very first. It's truth. You're part of it. The one power is exercising through you, and it's receiving you as it gave you. Mm-hmm. There's a lesson that actually has that weird sentence in it. It's not exactly like I said it, but when you read it, you go, whoa, this is you receiving you. Whoa. It's a wonderful meditation. Let's continue.
Let's start our process of reawakening with just a few simple concepts. Thoughts increase by being given away. The more who believe in them, the stronger they become. Everything is an idea. How then can giving and losing be associated?
That's the genesis of that circle we talk about so much. It grows as you give it. This is an aspect of the truth. If it shrinks as you give it, it's an aspect of the dream of lack and loss and separation. Where love just is this absent under those laws. And you could only experience it in a dream. And so you had to make a sleep and have a dream, and here you are. Have fun while you dream it, but it's not true and won't last. You can't stay in loss because giving, true giving, grows. This is the one power, this is the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Book says that we have a hard time accepting that we are an idea, right? Or was it thought?
Yes. Yeah, that's page 315, I think. Turn to page, you can read that. It's right on target. Let's go to page 315.
We keep our finger here too.
We're running out of time, so you can drop your finger there. We'll come back to that eventually.
My finger.
Such a great section.
Yeah. 315.
Yeah. But yeah, go to 315 and look at paragraph 4. Yes.
How did I know?
You do not find it difficult to believe that when another calls on God for love, your call remains as strong.
Oh, yeah.
Nor do you think that when God answers him, your hope of answer is diminished. On the contrary, you are more inclined to regard his success as witness to the possibility of yours. That is because you recognize, however dimly, that God is an idea, and so your faith in him is strengthened by sharing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. What you find difficult to accept is the fact that, like your father, you are an idea. And like him, you can give yourself completely, wholly without loss, and only with gain. Herein lies peace, for here there is no conflict.
That's a good paragraph for you tonight, Kim, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To have all, give all.
Yes. Good job. So that's the first lesson of the Holy Spirit. You bet.
The you is spirit and not...
Give all to all. You have all, give all to all.
In sentence 6, the you is spirit and not ego.
Yes, probably the whole you here is yourself now is going to be you're giving over your person, your individual, to the right mind, to truth. Your desire for love is what you are a small Y-O-U, as you heal. So yes, it's your spirit, but it's your contribution. It's your return, closing the circle. It's you coming back home. It's the prodigal son who is cold and stripped bare, nothing but a few clothing, coming back to the source of love. That's the you in this sentence. About to know more love than he could ever have dreamed of or thinks he even deserves. And yet he will bring more love to the Father than the Father ever knew. That's your job. Giving and receiving, even as you receive. It's your part. It's one power going full speed. Yeah. Very good question.
It's a lot to wrap your mind around, though.
Indeed. However, with an idea like the idea of life, it's always working. You are an extension of love. That's always true.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Yes.
I think I can wrap my mind around it. Mm-hmm. It's the holding it that's the hard part.
Yes.
Because
yes.
We're so distracted.
Yes, well, that's what forgiveness is for. Mm-hmm. Because you won't be able to hold it, so being so distracted and busy, mm-hmm. you know, doing your part as a mother, mm-hmm. an employee, you got to pay rent, or whatever else you're up to. The Kim is up to. So you need forgiveness. You've got the miracle. It's there. It's been installed forever in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. You got it? Mm-hmm. But what now is for you is to forgive, to release the thoughts that would hang on to the limit of Kim. They should be released. And that next paragraph, by the way, is about lack, and it's good for you. Thank you, Brother John. We're going to stand with Brother John and have a circle. Yes.
Take a deep breath. So you are a manifestation of that one power going full speed ahead. Your one goal is to return to that from which you came, which is love, which is all that you could ever receive, all you could ever want, all you could ever understand, all that you could ever keep, is this wonderful love that is actually giving and receiving. You're somewhere in that process of the giving and receiving of love. Never doubt it. There's only one power. It's happening at full speed. Meditate on that. Celebrate that. And trust that. And then watch it unfold. Let your Holy Spirit be your guide. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Awesome.
Good job, everybody.